la 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 la. Comenzando a vivir me sacrificaron. Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Tyne.
And I'm Bonnie North. If you know the name Alberto Villalobos, it's probably for his music as one-third of the ensemble Villalobos Brothers. They're best known for their contemporary take on traditional Mexican music.
For the past year, Villalobos has been teaching violin and viola in the Latino Arts String Program, and that's also given him the opportunity to display a solo show of his mask-making and ceramic work. It's called Hombres de Arcilla, or Men of Clay, and it commemorates the disappearance of 40 students in Mexico in 2014.
Villalobos and his partner, Wisconsin native Megan Van Aan, joined me in the studio to talk about the show. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Much. Thank you so much for having us.
So, Alberto, most people know you as a musician first. You and your brothers have a wonderful band. And I think it was the band that first brought you to Latino arts. Is that correct?
That's right. That's correct, Bonnie. Me and my brothers have a family band for many years now. And I think it was four years ago that we came to Summer Grounds to play at Mexican Fiesta. And that was when we listened to the kids from Latino Arts Strings Program. And we met Dinora Marquez, the wonderful and dear friend that directs the program.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She's been on the show so many times, you know, and we've had the kids, we've recorded them performing, and they're so good.
They are excellent.
They're so good.
And I happen to be a mentor now for them. And a teacher for violin and viola and groups. And I'm really proud of the work that we are doing there and really happy to be keep on collaborating with Dinora now.
How are you managing to do that and still have your tour schedule? Because you're here full time now.
Yeah, it's complicated. I have to wear many hats. I have to find time to continue creating my visual art, which is why we're here. But also touring with my brothers is very important. And I think Dinora has been really supportive about this cause. We fight for social justice, and through music, we have a really powerful voice that can invite people to change and to create a better understanding, a better world.
Well, especially now.
That's
it's
right.
A very difficult time for Mexican Americans and for Mexicans in this country. Do you find that you are really pulled to speak about that and sing about that?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a very important moment. And we need to speak up. It's just the right thing to do. Recently, I was a citizen of the United States. Last year, I became a citizen.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And I'm really proud now to say that this country has given me so many opportunities to grow as an artist, as a musician, as a person. I met Megan here, and I'm working in a wonderful organization, Latino Arts Strings, in Milwaukee after living in New York City for more than 13 years. So this country has really all these possibilities for artists that many people should know about.
Well, you mentioned visual art, and I think that might be an aspect of your career that a lot of people don't know about, that you're also a visual artist and a very passionate one. And there's an exhibit going on right now at Latino Arts in the gallery that's right next to the performance stage. And Megan, I'm going to bring you in now because you helped him curate this.
I did.
So tell me about, first of all, how you got together in terms of working on this particular exhibit.
Sure. So I think I'll sort of take credit for Alberto getting into clay.
What were you doing before?
Paper mache.
Okay.
Mostly paintings and paper mache masks.
Murals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm an art educator, and I always felt that as an art educator, that 3D art was sort of like writing with my non-dominant hand, with my left hand, so to speak. And so I thought I should not run away from it. I'm going to throw myself into it. I'm really curious about pottery. And so I started taking pottery classes and working with clay. And Alberto saw me working with clay, and he's like, this is incredible. I want to work with clay, too. So we started going to the same pottery studio in New York City. And I think clay really offered you the opportunity to work in a way that painting and paper mache sort of had certain limits that you felt restrained by, and clay really allowed you to make something different.
Well, yeah, because you were already working three-dimensionally
That's right.
with papier-mâché, but what does clay offer that it that papier-mâché did not?
Well, I think working with clay is just different to anything else I've done before, and I kind of fell in love with the feeling of the clay in your hands and how it changes texture when it's wet, when it gets dry. And then eventually with the process of firing a piece and how the fire makes a piece become permanent, right? Because before a piece is fired, it's very fragile. It can crumble back to the ground. And once it's fired, it lasts for forever. You know, we found pieces from the Olmecs, from the Egyptians, and they're still there. So if you don't break them physically, they're fragile, but also very durable. That's what I wanted to say. And I kind of find the analogy with life, you know, how surviving or going through those struggles make you stronger and make you who you are after being able to experience that.
Being tested by the fires.
Exactly.
Literally.
Life, literally.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I heard about, and I met one of the parents from these missing students in Mexico, it was only natural. At the time, I was starting to work with clay, and I was already making masks in different medias. And I said, I remember I told you, Megan, I told you, I'm going to build masks for every one of these single individuals.
And you should probably tell us who these students are, because I think a lot of people in this country might not know.
Yeah,
that's right. So back in 2014, there was this very sad situation, sad events that happened in Mexico in the state of Guerrero, where 43 students from a rural school. We're talking about teenagers.
A
teacher's college called Raúl Isidro Burgos in Guerrero were attacked by the police, the municipal police of Iguala, and they were disappeared. And this is 4 years ago exactly, on the 26th of September. So this is unacceptable. You know, we're talking about people here. I think most importantly, what happened that night is a tip of an iceberg showing. And the big problem is the impunity and the bureaucracy that permeates every single aspect of Mexican political life. So that crime that goes unpunished for 4 years and the families suffering for 4 years, it's really heartbreaking. And I think through this exhibit and through many other attempts, artists and activists are seeking justice 4 years later.
So you have made masks of all of these people who have been killed by the police.
Well, it's a touchy subject because talking to the parents, they don't have the evidence to support that they're dead. So if you talk to them, they ask them, they chant in protest, they say, vivos se los llevaron, vivos los queremos. They took them alive, we want them alive. So they refuse to believe that they are dead because they haven't found any remains of the students.
So there's no evidence?
There's no evidence. They only found one of the students, Mondragon, that they kept in a black bag, in a trash bag, under a chair. And one of the pictures that my friend took from Ayotzinapa is that picture of, it's in the exhibit. And to me, that's unacceptable. That's unhuman. That's something that we as a society shouldn't allow to happen. And also by not bringing closure to the families and giving them the peace of mind that their loved ones are found, it's an unacceptable truth for them. You know, they are going to clinch to the slightest possibility of finding them alive, as they should, until they're found. And in the process of finding them, they've been just by themselves organizing the community and digging in different parts of Iguala, and they found many other bodies, more than 100 bodies, buried in clandestine common
mass graves,
but none of them are the ones of the 43 students
or their
daughters,
their
sons.
Yeah,
they were all male, their sons. So as I told you, like, this is the tip of the iceberg. There's a really a lot of things going on in Mexico that we're talking about 98% of crimes go
unpunished or never brought to justice in Mexico.
So high numbers.
In terms of impunity and conviction, Mexico ranks up with Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan.
Wow.
So I think that's something that a lot of Americans aren't aware of, things that are happening right across our border.
Right. And you have sort of this blanket acceptance mm-hmm. on the government's part that this is okay. This is how we operate. Yeah.
It's either okay or they're actually involved. They are actually part of it.
Yeah, I guess that's part of the problem when you don't have the confidence to speak up because you're afraid that there's going to be consequences if you denounce, if you go to the police.
You will disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's incredible, really. And especially, you know, growing up in Mexico, I grew up there until I was 18 years old, and looking how beautiful the country is and how much it has to offer to the world, how much culture and tradition and it's now being labeled by this climate of violence that is ongoing, really, for the last 10, 15 years.
When you put this artwork into a place like Latino Arts and you're also teaching the young students music, and you're sharing both of those parts of your expression with mm-hmm. them, what are the questions they ask you?
You mean the students?
The students, yeah.
Well, it's very important to have the gallery at Latino Arts because, as you know, it's next to the school, to the elementary school and to the middle school. So students come to the gallery and visit the gallery with their art class. And they have really interesting questions. One of them, this just opened on Friday. So it's very recent.
Yeah.
But I will do some guided tours with the students. I'm not sure which grades have been to the exhibit, but just recently one of them like stopped me in the hallway and told me, "Mr. Alberto," he said, like, I really like your artwork. I was wondering if you could explain to me a little bit more about it. You know, they are interested because clay is mysterious like that. It gets stained by the fire and it kind of gets its own personality after. There's a sense of abandonment when you fire a piece. You don't really know what's going to happen unless you're using really specific techniques. But especially if you wood fire pieces, they're going to turn out.
They have a mind of their own.
Exactly. Yeah. And the student seems to be very curious about that. What do you mean? Why do you name it like you named it? I gave them, instead of names, I gave them names of feelings. So one of them, for instance, is called peace. Or one of them, it's called llanto, you know, like cry. Or so I didn't want to name them, but I did want to give them a feeling, a general sense of the feeling that the parents or the families or even us as spectators might be experiencing.
So how does working with the clay and working with the music work together for you, particularly at Latino Arts, because you're teaching mm-hmm. and then you're also exhibiting as an artist?
That's right. Yeah, well, this whole project, I think it started over 3 years ago, what I call Hombres de Arcilla, Men of Clay. And it started with a song, actually. I wrote a song and it took me forever to finally have the determination to bring it over to my brothers. And we recorded it very recently. Well, not so recently, last year. But the album is still not out. So I cannot play the song, even if I wanted to, because the album hasn't been released. But this has started and sparked the will to do more and to bring it to the visual arts field. And
are you hoping to take the artwork on tour as well?
Yeah. So this, we were trying to think of how many places it's been now. So it initially opened in the Bronx, and we were lucky enough to partner with an organization, a nonprofit in the South Bronx, where there were several girls who had also disappeared and their remains had never been found. So it was a really interesting connection between things that had actually been happening in the Bronx as well. So it's been in the Bronx. It's been in D.C., Washington, D.C., in Portland as part of the National Ceramics Conference. And there was a piece and a show in Dallas last year as well.
Right. And now it's here.
And now it's here in Milwaukee.
I was also in Lake George.
Lake George,
we performed there and we took some pieces. So it's a traveling exhibit, but As a solo exhibit, it's been only in a couple of places, Washington, the Bronx, and here. Because it's you can imagine, that there are more than 40 pieces, very fragile. They're big pieces, too.
You don't want them to return to dust before their time.
Before their time. Even though we have had that some casualties in the way. I had them in a restaurant in Midtown Manhattan. And when I went back to pick them up, three of them were gone. Mysteriously. So I was really upset and really sad. But then I realized, I think you made me realize about that, how the parents, for them, it's their sons, you know. And I was okay with that. Yeah. I just built new masks and they're here. They live here in Milwaukee now.
So now that you've spent a year here, are you going to stick around? Are you going to stay and make music here with the students?
I hope so. I certainly hope so. It's been a very intense year of work and touring and making masks, but I'm really happy and I feel welcome. I feel that Milwaukee has a very welcoming community, wonderful food. I can't complain for that part either. So I'm really happy here.
And Megan, this is sort of a homecoming for you. You're from Oshkosh.
From Oshkosh, but I'm a graduate of Marquette University. So we certainly didn't plan on moving back to Milwaukee, but Denora made it happen. So really thanks to her for bringing us back. And I'm really happy to be back and see how much the city has grown and changed in the 10 years that I've gone. Nothing but better things I've seen.
And it's nice to know that you think the food is good. Because I think it's really good here, too.
Yeah.
You'll have to tell me some of the best places.
Absolutely. I also want to say Raul was really helpful in bringing the exhibit here and kind of using his expertise to guide me and to suggest the final placement of the pieces. I had a different idea, but when I talked to him, I kind of switched directions. And this is how the gallery looks nowadays because he was kind enough to come and see it.
He's really good, too. So, yeah, between him and Denora, you know, sort of a power couple.
Right. Yeah, I think they've really taken us under their wings as a art and musicians. We couldn't be in the hands of really a better Milwaukee power couple.
There you go. Well, I am so thrilled to meet you both. I am so glad you were able to come on to the show. I'm looking forward to seeing the exhibit, and I can't thank you enough.
Thank you so much, Bonnie.
Alberto Villalobos is one-third of the musical trio Villalobos Brothers. He's also been teaching violin and viola at Latino Arts this year and currently has an exhibit of ceramic works on display called Hombres de Arcilla at the UCC. Megan Van Ahn is Villalobos' partner and curator of the exhibit. You can find pictures and more information at wuwm.com.